You're listening to DraftKings Network.
I don't know if I'm getting old, Christian, but here's what something.
The answer is yes, you are.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, yeah, I'm getting older, but am I getting old? You know why I think that?
Why?
You know what I wanted the other day? Like, what I want to get myself?
Like a Werther's original.
Just one of those good little rascal scooters.
Just a grandma candy?
Yeah, just buzz around the mall, hitting kids' ankles. No, I want a good pen.
Really?
Yo, I want a good pen so bad, like a dumb expensive pen.
Remember just a couple months ago when I was talking about Parker pens? Remember I mentioned?
No!
I mentioned Parker pens, you were making fun of me.
What the hell's a Parker pen?
It's a nice pen that I used to use when I was in like middle school and high school.
I never heard that brand, bro.
Parker pens.
I'm talking like Mont Blanc. This guy has Parker pens.
Parker pens are like these nice for like
it's $8.
Yeah, but as like when you were a kid and spending $15 on a pen was a lot of money. These were Parker pens. I used to get these pens all the time.
What the hell? What are you? That's not what I'm talking about.
But I'm just saying that you were making fun of me.
I know now. Continuing to make fun of you. This is not what I'm talking about. A $12 pen?
It's affordable.
Whoa, the luxury,
bro. $12 back in my day.
Whoa, treat yourself, there, Christian. I'm not talking about handing the CVS employee a $20 bill and getting back significant change. That's not what I'm talking about.
They're nice pens. Anyway,
jeez,
but yes.
Parker pens.
And what kind of pen are you talking about?
I know which ones you're talking about because the clip, it has like the little arrows
in
the back.
The little arrow.
And it's very hollow. It's very hollow inside. Uh-huh. And you could take the clip off.
And you can, and it was the ink was replaceable.
Yeah,
inside.
It was very upsetting about how cheap these pens are. I can't believe this is what you were talking about.
This was a classy pen.
Then I'm sorry for making fun of you the way I did before. I should have made fun of you for how cheap.
Now,
your dream is.
Because you are a pen connoisseur.
Christian's like, imagine a Toyota Corolla with leather.
Mr. Luxury Pen over here.
Yeah, I'm talking about a dumb pen. What with a sales
Prius.
Attendant?
Huh? I'm a new Prius with spinning rims.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's like, hey, yo, I just got a 6 CV changer.
Bro, I got mad bitches in the car and they all vegan.
Yeah. Damn, son. Bro. Diamond studded. That's the name of the scent. It's diamond studded.
Okay, well, is there a particular pen that you have an eye on?
No, I mean Mont Blanc is crazy. It's
Mont
like
Blanc.
No, those are like 1100. Have you ever seen a Mont Blanc pen?
I've not seen a Mont Blanc pen, but this is gonna be my first time. I'll take a quick look.
Yeah,
and then we'll get to the soccer show.
We're gonna
everybody.
Talk about soccer in a second.
Mont Blanc.
Gotta get this done first. This is way more important.
Okay,
look at this. We're talking $300-$500 for a pen.
Interesting.
I don't know if that I want to spend that much, but something of
I
that
even
ilk.
Say. Is it even worth it to spend that much on a pen, bro? No way.
But can you imagine how important whatever document you're about to fill out will feel? I'm not talking about this because
this is like a fountain pen.
This is a fountain pen. Yeah. I mean, I don't also want to go back in time. But
my man wants to write the Declaration of Independence, bro.
Yo, I wanted to write the Declaration of my own independence. Dearest wife, it has come to our attention.
No, honey, I am suffering from dysentery.
Right.
I am unable to.
The garbage shall be found other ways to be removed from our residence.
Okay, well, if you're only listening, watch on YouTube to see these incredible pens that we're talking about.
I don't want a fountain pen, though. They got beautiful ball joint pens.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we're not going to go look at
ballpoint.
Pen browsing.
Yeah.
But best of luck.
Guy said Parker pen. Oh, luxury you speak of. Yes, I know what you mean.
I'm not saying it's a luxury pen. I'm simply saying that that was a pen that I really loved when I was a kid, and you teased me for it. And now you're bringing up pens and being like, yo, pens are dope.
I never said pens are dope. I feel like I'm getting older because I feel the need to want
I'm saying,
a nice pen.
The haters were hating, and all of a sudden, now pens are popping, okay?
Now everybody out here talking
pens. Everybody talking about pens making fun of me, okay? It's interesting how everybody switches up, bro. This is like Drake and Kendrick, yo. I thought we were friends at one point, and now this is what you're doing. What's all this beef about? Anyway,
You got your phone? Guns, buddy.
Yes, I do have my phone. What are you doing? Why is this necessary?
This is important for the show. I promise you this is important for the show.
How are you airdropping me a pen?
No. Did you get a notification?
Alexis just Venmo'd me $12.
get yourself a Parker pen, my guy. I got you, Papa. We don't get each other birthday gifts. This is my birthday gift to you. I need to see you in here next week with a Parker pen. Do you hear me? I need a Parker pen. And let me tell you something. If they charge you tax, Papa, I got you. You let me know what the extra is.
This is how I know Alexis's CBS wealth has gotten to his head. Never in the goddamn like 15 years that I know this man would he ever, even for a bit, like give money for a joke. Never.
Nah, dude.
This man is wealthy beyond what any of us could imagine.
Look, right? I don't like to talk about money, but honestly, right now I could buy like two or three Parker pens. You know what I mean? Okay. I hate to be bragging. You know what I mean?
Hey, look, I would never be that financially reckless, but Alexis, he can do his own thing.
It's
right?
too many Parker pens.
Just keep in mind, we know who handles the Cooligans money, all right? Because this is why the lights are still on.
Buddy,
right?
I'd have a case of Parker pens. Buddy, I need to see you with a Parker pen now. All right?
Alexis, okay. Like 500 Parker pens for 10 grand. The deal of a century.
It's nothing, dude.
Unbelievable.
The wealth we are going to display on the show now when Christian gets his Parker pen, people are going to stop being fans of ours. They're gonna say, bro, they're too good.
I'm canceling my Patreon. I'm not donating to this.
Bro,
this
they
project.
Need to pay me to listen.
Hello, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
It's against, buddy.
We out here talking about pens. This is the Pennigans. welcome to the show.
Speaking of pens, Champions League is lit.
That's it. This is going to be why isn't there a show dedicated only to penalties?
Buddy,
and
we
nothing
should.
Else. Okay.
It's good for SEO because we talk about Messi a lot.
Exactly.
Pessi.
Penaldo. Yeah. Out here, right?
Mbappe,
Benzema,
damn, yo, Vinicius Jr. I know that's penis. That's probably not what he wants to be called.
That was too much. That was
spell
too
that
much.
Out and let me know if you see the word.
Vinicius sounds like somebody from like the Roman times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Asking for a blowjob. Shall thou suck with my Vinicius?
All right. All right. Apologies to any of our
man, if I had a good pen, I'd put that in my Declaration of Independence.
Apologies to our young listeners. It gets a little crazy sometimes. Hello.
Oh, they say worse in Snapchat group chat.
Why are you on Snapchat? And again, anyway.
I certainly am not.
Hello.
What do I look like, Drake?
Welcome to the Cooligans. A lot to go over today. Yeah. Champions League was crazy this week.
Champions League bananas.
But that's why we're a little bit loopy. Because
yo,
first
of all, shouts to you for knowing the shirt you're wearing. BVB, Borussia Dortmund.
Yes.
You find a way.
Bro, you doubted me.
No, I doubted you. Everyone doubted you. But then, although I will say, the clip magically got loaded after you were right. All of a sudden,
shout out to Miguelito.
Yo, Miguelito. Hey, I got you. I got that SEO. I got that SEO, baby.
Bro, because, yes, if you were...
Had that been up early, I feel like a lot of people would have had my back and then be like, oh, we were also wrong. But a lot of the comments, like Elisha Edward goes, welp. Oh, stop acting like you knew Dortmund was going to go through, bro.
Because if you saw last week, we were talking about the first leg, right? Borussia Dortmund won 1-0. And... PSG hit the post a whole bunch of times. Alexis was
and
like,
"That continued."
Yes, Alexis, you said, "Oh, PSG's got it at home. You know they're not going to be able to stop them." And again, I just thought if BVB were able to do what they did in that first game, I really did not see why they wouldn't be able to do it in the second game. And the exact same, it couldn't have been any more sort of accurate of a
oh,
take.
Oh, no, you were
it was
spot
like,
on.
It was literally like, I thought I was watching a replay of the first game.
Yeah. I honestly was like, did Christian become the script writer on this on the Champions League?
So we'll get to that in a little bit. I want to, I just got back from D.C. because I was hosting the Congressional Soccer Match. This is the second time. Second time I got to do it, and really, really cool. So shout out to U.S. Soccer Foundation for the invite. I always have a great time, and it was that, you know, they have a bunch of games where they have like the embassy match.
Did you rush into the Capitol building, man? Did you have time?
Okay. I just had something to say.
I got all this poop in my hand. I got to smear it on something.
Where's Nancy Pelosi's desk?
You know how hard it is to walk around with poop in your hand?
I need to put my boots on there. Anyway, no, it's look, obviously, the political climate is a little bit different than it was last year.
Let me tell you. And it wasn't great last year.
It wasn't.
It has been ratcheted up this
what
year.
What year has it been good, yeah, the political climate? But it was...
Year one was probably pretty good. 1777, they were like, I feel like we're going to be fine.
I mean, I would say for the black people in 1777, they were probably not too happy.
They were in D.C. at the time. Yeah, they were like, we're not fine.
Okay.
We have some suggestions.
I see the blueprint, yeah, but I think we can make a couple additions.
Hey, you guys said all men are created equal. What did you mean by that? And can you elaborate?
Just really, we got to clarify some of the wording.
Right? I happen to have a Parker pen on me. I might like to make an amendment. I don't know if you allow such wealth in your establishments.
But the look, it was the U.S. Soccer Foundation. They do, you know, they build a lot of mini pitches across the country. They provide.
This was for a charity.
Yeah, yeah. Provides.
This was for a good cause.
They provide soccer opportunities for underserved youth all over the country. Awesome organization.
And let's get it out of the way. You hosted, emceed, mm-hmm, a soccer tournament where a lot of political figures were taking part.
Yeah, yeah. So,
we probably have a core of our fan base that are like, why didn't you tell blank this, blank, that, blank? Let's get out of the way. That was not your job.
They didn't hire me to do that. Yeah. But if it,
you suggested it. You're like, I got an idea for halftime. Okay.
So it was a, look, it's like, it is for a good cause, but there are clearly a lot of politicians that are playing in the game, or just that even there, like there's staffers, there's lobbyists, a lot of people.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that probably wouldn't have played had they known it was for a good cause. You're like, no, I'm in the city to do evil. I can't shake that up and all of a sudden do a good.
But the really one of the most kind of remarkable moments was there were protests. There were Palestine protests at the game, and I've never been emceeing something where, like, you know, just like a protest just happened. Like,
yeah,
as a comedian, there is an instinct to address it. You want to say something.
Well, you always want to talk about the elephant in the room.
Right.
Like, what political party's elephants, by the way?
That's the GOP.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. So, yeah, you probably wanted to talk about the elephants in the room.
So
you want to talk about it because it's everything in your body tells you address it. Address it.
And it would.
You were specifically asked to not address it.
No, I wasn't specifically asked anything in particular, but it was a thing where you know what's appropriate and sort of what's not appropriate for the specific moment. And I'm a huge fan, First Amendment right. Please, I wasn't mad at the protest.
No.
I think it was an opportune time. And there were clearly politicians there, and
it's a good place to do it.
Exactly.
Right?
A lot of people of influence
are there.
I was supportive of it. I had no issue with it. I think so more than anything, I just wanted to highlight that because I thought it was a healthy thing to do and a healthy protest, but there also wasn't, some people weren't super happy with it, but there wasn't any fighting. There wasn't nothing got physical. The people who made the statement did what they had to do. And so from that perspective, I thought it was an absolutely beautiful thing. So I just wanted to make sure to highlight that because it was an emotional moment even as well. I'm like trying to make jokes about, you know, Dan Crenshaw sending a shot wide or whatever. But yeah, it was a thing where it brought, I think for me, brought sort of everybody back to reality of like, yeah, we are here for a good cause.
And we're all having fun, but there's some serious issues and that's your job is to come to the city and solve those issues.
Exactly. So that's what, you know, that's what Washington, D.C. is all about. Mm. So shout out to U.S. Soccer Foundation. Again, it was a great event, great organization. And we saw a lot of people, fans of the show, super complimentary, stuff like that. So overall, just a great, great time. So I really, really enjoyed it. All right. Let's get to it.
Champions League.
Oh, I dropped my...
Not Parker pen.
Your cheap pen. This is the last week for cheap pens, folks.
Okay.
On this show.
We have to raise the class and luxury of this show.
By the way, Patreon's going up by about $1,000 a month each. But don't worry about it. It's for a good cause.
Okay.
The pens.
We got... you're not going to be let down. It's going to be some good pen content.
You're going to say to yourself, this was worth not paying mortgage this month. Let's talk about Champions League. Let's talk about BVB. PSG first.
Yes.
Because I said this on Morning Footy. What a moment this is for Kylian Mbappe to write the final chapter of what could be viewed as a beautiful book. What a moment. What a moment the soccer gods have graced us with. You're going home, right? And we've seen him take charge in these moments. We saw the Champions League final where he seized that moment and did everything he could to power his nation, right? The best player on the pitch, a hat trick in the Champions League, in the World Cup final.
Yeah.
And this was a chance to do something similar, not results-wise, but something similar, seize that moment, be the best player on the pitch, which we had not seen him be across many of these Champions League matches, but to prove to the PSG faithful, the guys who have his back when he could have left 2 years ago and he decided to come back, and I know some fans are mad at him and they think of him as sort of not one of their own. He could have changed that narrative in that moment. And man, none of the things I just mentioned happened. None.
It would have been, it's a fairy tale at this point.
One World Cup winner showed up in Mats Hummels.
Look, I think, the expectation, and you were even saying it last week, of like, oh, this that first leg was a fluke. PSG, you're not going to be able to stop them to that degree, two games in a row.
Do you know what their XG was
No.
In the second leg?
I don't.
Over three.
Yeah, okay.
You know how many goals they scored?
Zero.
None.
Did you guys see what their XG was over both of the legs?
No, what was it?
5.38. And they scored zero goals.
We're talking about a minimum five goals should have been scored.
It's a game of FIFA where, like, it's just not your day.
You know how they say, like, FIFA will, like, if you win a few games, it'll find a way to make you lose a game?
Uh-huh.
This was it.
It was just like the EA sports gods were just like, nah, dog.
Dude, PSG have lost three Champions League semifinal legs in a row. Three.
Wow. Yeah.
Lost.
Yeah, it's a. I don't even think it's like a psychological thing. I mean, after the game, we saw the post game interview with Luis Enrique, and he had no real explanation. He's like, we hit the post what, six times, or seven
times.
Still
not a shot on target.
It doesn't count, but
it's not even on target. We're talking about the post.
This is a gripe I have. This is for the statisticians, for the stat nerds. How is a shot that hits the post not a shot on target?
Because it doesn't need to be saved.
Exactly.
To stop it from going in. I honestly was upset about the same thing. And it's a perfect answer.
The goal is the target. And you hit it.
No. You hit the post. That's not a goal.
I know it's not a goal.
In other words, if a keeper has to save it from stopping it from going in.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
If the keeper goes nowhere near and it hits a post, it was never going in.
Okay. Well,
I agree with you.
In the spirit of the game, doesn't feel right.
Yeah. I feel like give me something for it.
Because it
also, if you hit the post 10 times, you get a goal. I mean, I'm just saying.
we have to change that. It feels like we're sort of classifying it like a shot that hits the crossbar is the same as a shot that ends up in the 80th row.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I know.
Which is absurd.
Ousmane Dembele is like, wow, none of us got a shot on target. Like, no, you killed six birds. So, cut the shit, Ousmane.
It feels a little weird. And look, Luis Enrique's response saying that is like, if the coach is just being like, yo, I mean, what are we supposed to do? We're hitting the post. We're doing as well as we can.
But you know what that reminded me of when Luis Enrique said that? Because after the first leg, they asked him about, like, what happens if you lose? And he goes, the sun will come up and everything's going to be fine. It's going to hurt, but we'll be okay. Very dad thing to say. You might want to prepare to say that in case your son ever looks at you and goes, what if Everton ever win, you know? And you're going to say,
like, my son, shut up. It'll never happen. Why are you giving me hope?
Yeah. Santa's not real. Sean Dyche is real. That's all you need to know.
She's not even your real mother.
Yeah, I'm just making up. They're like, sir, you're in an Arby's.
No, this kid needs to learn. Yeah. Here at Arby's.
They have the meats. I don't know why you're in an Arby's office. So after that, he said, yeah, well, you know, the Son of God, which I thought was kind of a weak way of answering it.
Mm-hmm.
It's also kind of like a devoid of, no one else feels this way. Oh, you hit the post a couple of times. You still didn't win. You still didn't even get close to winning.
Yeah. You know? It didn't feel, because they hit the post so much, you almost give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, all right, you did try. I saw you trying out there.
Oh, they were trying. I think there's crazy stats. Like, I think you might want to look this up. Sure. I think it's 14 times this entire Champions League season they hit the post.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Remember Sunil Gulati? When he was like, oh, if the ball goes 2 inches to the left, we're in the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it felt, you know?
Yeah, well, for whatever reason, if Luis Enrique said that regarding PSG, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? This guy's right. But with Sunil, I was like, shut up, what the hell are you talking about? No,
we went for the money.
it was so upsetting. Obviously, we missed the World Cup because of that. Mm-hmm. But
you were right, Alexis, 14 times, by the way, in this Champions League.
So this is a look. I mean, when we look at possession in this second leg, like, I mean, we see who dominated.
3.25, bro.
Yeah, I mean, we see.
If all I showed you was that, you'd say how much did the team on the left win by? At least 2-0.
30 total shots to Dortmund 7. So this is where I think
one big chance. You know what that was? The goal.
The goal. We have to give credit. I think we sort of haven't. Enough to Dortmund's back line. I mean, they did the job, bro.
Schlotterbeck looked good.
Schlotterbeck,
I'm not as big a fan of Ryerson. I don't know.
Ian Maatsen, though. Ian Maatsen on the
left. Ian Maatsen showed
fantastic.
Up.
Ian Maatsen, he played so well, and he's been playing so well throughout Champions League, where it's like there's a little bit of like because he's playing so well, they know they like we can't even keep him.
Yeah.
Because he's going to get crazy offers.
Well, did you hear this? Speaking of can't even keep him, did you know that because of the sell-ons for Jude Bellingham's contract,
mm-hmm.
if Real Madrid win, if Dortmund win the Champions League final, their payout is 20 million euros.
Okay.
Because of the sign-ons and the add-on fees, if Real Madrid win the Champions League, the total purse that they'll get from Bellingham's sale will be 25 million euros. So 5 million more.
For winning.
For Real Madrid.
No, for
winning.
Losing. Yeah.
From losing. So if they lose the final, they make an additional 5 million versus if they win.
That's what a ridiculous.
That's a good negotiation. Well, I also don't think when they drew that up that they thought they'd be the ones in the final.
You know what I mean? But it's remarkable. But
no, the truth is that some of that has already been paid off.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not 25 million that day. But it will add up to about 25 million versus 20 million if they win it. So frankly, they make more money winning it because they've already been paid some of that 25.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But on paper, it'll look kind of crazy.
Imagine it was like, yo, pay up right after the final whistle. Like, bro, you got it? Or why?
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing?
Hey, bro, we lost, man. You might want to come quick with
that. So at before you lift any trophies, make sure we're good. We square. Yo,
I see the confetti's out already. I feel like I've been waiting a long time. You feel me?
Hey, Florentino. Let me hold that.
It's like, bro, yo, you spent a lot of money out here.
I know.
Nice, huh?
You got that new sphere screen, huh? It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
This roof is crazy. You guys see this roof?
Did you close it like you should the accounts in your arrears?
So,
is that a Parker pen, Florentino?
Wow, Florentino.
Wow, you just flexing in front of me? You know you owe me money.
Insulting. But Ian Maatsen played so well that not only, you know, like we know we can't keep him, but then he played so well that it's like now we are limited to who we can even sell him to because of his wages and all these other factors.
He will be requesting that. He deserves that. Yes.
Exactly.
Ian Maatsen's only on loan. Ian Maatsen is a Chelsea player.
I didn't know that.
From Chelsea to Borussia Dortmund right now.
Oh, okay.
Damn,
look at that.
Chelsea up right now.
Look at
this smile on Miguelito's face.
Yeah.
All right. So, but no.
Damn, they can't even afford to get him now. Dorman's like, bro.
That's the thing a lot of Chelsea fans are upset about. His release clause is only $35 million, and they have the option to buy at the end of the season. So people think Dortmund are going to take him on the permanent deal for only $35 million.
Bro, smart move. Buy him for $35 million, flip him for $60 million.
What is it? We're flipping houses out here, Dortmund.
What are we, the property brothers?
So, but no, I just got to give credit to the Dortmund's defending. Yes, they did not have a lot of the ball, but they just. Like it was wild to see, you know, like even Mbappe or Dembele really not find like super great chances and just get neutralized from time to time more than sort of we're used to.
It did feel a little bit like a joga bonito in the final third for PSG though. Mm-hmm. That there wasn't really a plan. It was just a bunch of players being like, I don't know, pass me the ball and I'll try something.
Yeah.
Or maybe we can link up. You know what I mean? Which I think works really well for Real Madrid. I think it works really well for Carlo Ancelotti. I'm not sure that's exactly what Luis Enrique had planned. Maybe he did. And it created a lot of opportunities. Look, in the game of football, in the game of soccer, all you could really do is create a plan that's going to get you good opportunities in front of goal.
Yeah.
And now you expect the players you bring in to be good enough to not only execute that plan, but to be able to create the opportunity in front of goal. And they had everything except for that execute part.
Yeah.
All of it.
Did you see the Mats Hummels tweet?
Was this the great harvesting fellow farmers?
That was the one before that.
That was one of the greatest tweets of all time.
Mats Hummels has been crushing it on Twitter, but this was hilarious. He tweeted, so many teams wanted to play against us. Luckily, we are really nice guys and made it to the final so that as many as possible of them get the chance.
What a great, this man deserves all 18,000 of those retweets or reposts, whatever they are. This is incredible.
Love to see it, Matt. My man has a sense of humor. He was, him and Marco Reus were mm-hmm. the two that last... What did who was
no,
it?
No, they lost. It was
they
2013.
Lost in the final. Yeah, Marco Reus and him, but they were the previous two that played in the Champions League final. Mm-hmm. That
but
are
hold
now
on though.
On the
hold
team.
On though. Everyone's been saying this, and I have a problem with everyone saying that. Mats Hummels went to Bayern Munich for 5 seasons in the middle of that time. Marco Reus has been there all the time, bro.
Marco Reus like, man, never left, bro. But he is this summer.
But he is leaving.
St. Louis looking like it.
Yeah, and I had tweeted out. I said, you know, given that you know, St. Louis City is effectively a Bundesliga team in Major League Soccer.
They got Luis Van Nistelrooy, Roman Berkey used to play with him there. Dortmund.
Yeah, so I was like, yo, I think that'd be a good fit. And a lot of people in the comments were like, no, I don't think that won't work. He's too old. They want younger guys or whatever. And then literally like 3 minutes later, Tom Boger tweets what?
Yeah.
Oh, St. Louis City in conversation with, you know, had early conversations with Marco Reus. So I'm like, oh, okay, so it's not that crazy.
Wow. Wow, Cooligan's up.
Okay. We got the scoop before Tommy Scoop.
Remember when I said geo-rated Nottingham Forest? Everyone called me absolutely out of my mind, bro. How many clown emojis did y'all drop in my comments?
Take those back, those clown emojis.
Now who's the clown? Probably Nottingham Forest for
for bringing up
everything else, but still.
Really bad idea. Anyway. So the
Mats Hummels should have been at the Tom Brady roast. Bro.
Mats Hummels was spectacular. He got the goal in the game. I love this.
Jadon Sancho is going to be in a Champions League final. This man was in the canteen with the with the 18s, the U18s.
You see,
3-4 months ago.
Someone just commented this. It said is the Fop Mop rating, and it says at Noodle Hair CR7 said and put Sancho with 8.6 Fop Mob rating and put Eric Ten Hag with a 3.2.
Yeah. Sancho proved the ball dead wrong. I mean, look, if you are CR7, you probably hate Eric Ten Hag.
Without a doubt. I mean, this is a they were spectacular. Really, really.
Sancho had the most dribbles in one match of any English player in a Champions League ever.
Look at that.
That's crazy, bro.
Okay.
This guy couldn't get on the pitch for United.
It's almost like when you put good players in good positions on good teams, they play
well. Bro, he did it. He got disrespected by Ten Hag, and he was like, I ain't apologizing, and look where he is now.
And can I give myself some credit? I stood up for him, and I took a lot of heat for it.
Yeah.
But I said, bro, sometimes you got to take control of your career. Sometimes you got to put your balls on the table.
Wow.
Soccer balls, kids. And you got to say, y'all, I'm done taking the disrespect.
Hey, please, Eric Ten Hag, put that hammer away. Yeah. I have my balls on the table.
Why would you carry that into this meeting? Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm a bet on me. Not like through an app, though.
Right.
Yeah. Like for Miami United.
Yo, don't listen to Sandro Tonali. Yeah. That's what he said.
Miami United players like, I'm a bet on me. Got it.
So moving on from PSG BVB, we got Real Madrid versus Bayern Munich. Another incredibly exciting game. This was one of the wildest comebacks from one of the most random players we've seen in the Champions League in quite some time. What do you guys think? Joselu, he's the hero.
Joselu comes in, first touch, scores a goal?
Bro.
Bro.
Scores in the 88th and the 91st.
Can I give you a wild nugget?
Go for
okay?
it.
Okay? It's like you ordered fries and there's a nugget in it. That's what you're about to get right
Let
now.
Let me know.
Two former Stoke players were subbed into this game.
What was the second?
Choupo-Moting.
Oh, right.
Right?
He's one of those guys that he's probably like 28. But
no, he's like 35.
Okay, I'm like.
But
I'm
he's
like,
playing.
But he started playing when he was 12.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he was 100%. A pro.
He's been everywhere.
Why have you been everywhere? Yeah.
You also want to hear another crazy stat? Bro, Joselu has scored more goals in a Champions League semifinal than he did at the Bet365 Stoke Stadium. Bro, this is crazy.
They didn't know what they had at the moment.
If only you weren't hoofing it long, dog. Tony Pulis style.
Do you guys know the even crazier stat about this Stoke team? It's not just Joselu. So the 2015-2016 Stoke side, players who were on that team have played in the Champions League semifinals at least in 2004, 2005, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13, 19, and now 2024.
Why hasn't Stoke won the Premier League 8 times in a row? This is crazy.
Well, also, what are they feeding the players at Stoke besides a cocktail of pills that have no names on them? It's got the numbers scratched off. Don't worry, you'll be good. You'll be all right.
Look, this game. There's a lot of controversy in this game, and we'll get.
Yeah, but can I be honest? I don't. It matters if you're a Bayern Munich fan. Yes, you should be upset. You should feel. You know, you should feel aggrieved. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Should feel like aggrieved. You were done wrong.
All right, dude. Come on. It's crazy. What's going on in my head today? you should feel like you were done wrong, 100%. But, bro, everybody stopped playing, and that's why you scored that goal.
Yeah,
The refs were wrong, and that should have never happened. Could you have scored a goal? Maybe. But
the second goal
should not have counted.
Yeah, I mean, look, we'll get to the mistakes. Oh, first of all, my first sort of impression is just the way I was talking about last week, PSG, the soccer gods will not let them win. Real Madrid, the soccer gods will not let them lose.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
They are not allowed to lose.
In the first segment, you said, oh, I know people think that they have a curse or whatever, and you can't. If we believe, and I do, that Real Madrid is somehow have this additional glory that makes them win, then by that nature, then that means PSG get the opposite. Because Real Madrid has so much means PSG gets so little. There's only so much water that goes in a cup.
Exactly. The universe balances itself out. It's like Thanos with the holding the little thing, the little bouncing thing.
You lost me.
I got you. There is something to where even when Real Madrid is losing and you see the players are like, they're tired. They're like, oh, man, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this. And then a light shines on Joselu. Right. Picks the most random person.
I honestly think it's just Carlo Ancelotti removes his hands from his pocket.
And as soon as they can see his palms.
And the shine, the line shines down on his palms. And then he taps Joselu on the shoulder. And Joselu is like, oh, my God.
Why
is my foot making that weird noise?
This is a look, overall, I thought the game was much more, you know, there weren't goals until the second half. But I thought the game was wide open. I did not expect
it. Very back and forth.
Very back and forth game. And this
also is Alfonso Davies, bro.
Look, but overall, like, you sort of expect Real Madrid to be more in like a sort you picture the Galacticos and the Real Madrid teams that we've seen for years and years.
But this team is more successful and probably better than the Galacticos,
which is so odd because they seem a little bit more disorganized. And yet
first of all, they seem like they just found out they were playing a game earlier that day. Isn't that the vibe of Real Madrid?
There's a different vibe of this era of Real Madrid. Even Vinicius, Rodrigo, and the fact that like players like Toni Kroos had a great game, but even players like Luka Modric, who is not starting, and Camavinga and Tchouameni, and like it's the vibe, like just like they play more on vibes, and I've seen Jude Bellingham talk about this, about how Ancelotti lets them express themselves and be themselves.
You want to hear a crazy quote from Ancelotti?
What?
This is a quote from Ancelotti. They did this on the Champions League show. They displayed it. He said, "There's two types of managers. There's the type that don't do anything, and then there's the type that mess up a team."
Oh,
bro. Or cause a lot of damage to
them. Yeah. He's like,
those are the two managers. He's like, yo, there's me, and then there's these people that are just meddling a little too much.
Is it like people who tinker, right? Yeah. This is like, who is it? Like Ranieri who got this tinkerman?
No, Rafa Benitez.
Claudio Ranieri. I think it was Claudio Ranieri.
Ranieri, I think, also got that like label, like that he was tinkering too much with the
really
team.
Really, maybe. But Rafa Benitez is the overthinker.
Yeah.
You know, he has manila folders on all of his players. You know?
You know, he won't get a computer. He has to be on paper forever, right?
You want to hear so we were having this conversation on the show this morning about where does Carlo Ancelotti, I think he's going to a sixth Champions League final, like, where does he sit? He is amongst the pantheon of Real Madrid greats, some of the greatest managers of all time. And I cannot help but think that man was on the touchline for Everton Football Club
all the time.
It's so hard. Every time I watch this team, I'm like, how is that possible?
And that's the thing is that Real Madrid stole him from us.
Yeah, he really did, though.
An ex that was like, babe, it's not the same without you.
Bro, she ain't got no Parker Pens, bro.
Look at all these Parker Pens. I got nobody to share these pens with.
Dude, she ain't of our ilk, you know? So exactly what Real Madrid did.
But there was quite a turn because Everton fans were really upset that he chose to leave. I mean, we all know what he said. He said, if Real Madrid come calling, you can't say no. And Everton,
which is fair.
But Everton fans were like, yo, but you're with us right now. Why are you leaving?
Could you try? Could you try to say no?
Have you considered a polite no?
I mean, it's as many syllables as yes.
It's not hard. But something happened. He sort of turned the corner. Of like,
remember he was gone this season. He was gonna after the season he was gonna go be the Brazil manager
and the whole thing. But people, even Everton fans, are like he won them over again. Mm-hmm. Now people want to see him succeed because they appreciate because he speaks highly of Everton. He has never said anything negative about the club, and I think it was just if Real Madrid didn't need a coach at that time, he probably would still be at Everton, possibly even with the ridiculous financial.
Do you know where Carlo Ancelotti lives?
Doesn't he live like in Italy or something?
Mm-mm.
Where does he live?
Vancouver.
What?
He lives in Vancouver.
Sorry, he must have been pissed at Alfonso Davies for that goal, bro. How can you do this to me?
He's like, yo, fam, I thought we was...
we was people.
One in the same, dog. Yeah, his wife is Canadian.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Well, huge Canucks fan. Huge Canucks fan. I think I saw him at the game last night.
Yeah, always at the game. He dropped the first puck.
Yeah. He's a massive Whitecaps fan, bro.
That's great. Okay, I mentioned Alfonso Davies' goal, one of the greatest goals of his career, but without a doubt.
In fact, he's one of three CONCACAF players to ever score in a Champions League semifinal.
Him, Pulisic, and?
Can you guess? He's an old player.
McBride.
Played for United. McBride. No, played for United a long time ago.
Chicharito?
Played for Manchester United.
A lot of people think Chicharito, not Chicharito.
Oh, a CONCACAF player.
CONCACAF, not Mexican.
Not Mexican, CONCACAF player.
Not Mexican, not Canadian.
Costa Rican.
Mm-mm.
Ooh.
I have no idea who this is.
His nation knocked us out of the World Cup.
Trinidad, a Trinidadian player?
Uh-huh.
No Who idea.
Old United player. I'll even give you the year, 1999.
Bro, that was the year I was born. I'm not going to lie. I don't know that one.
Yeah, we need a new producer.
I don't know.
This guy just said he was born in 1999. Dwight York.
Dwight York.
Remember him?
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Only three.
I know, bro. We need to get a... If we got other Americans in the Champions League semifinal,
come
buddy,
on.
Just take a shot on goal.
Come on, Edson Alvarez. Yeah, get to the Champions League semifinal first.
Score. Yeah, then you got to score. You got a lot to do for your confederation.
Okay, so but the goal from Alfonso Davies... I thought they were gonna win it. I thought they would hold on, and because that was just
that to
a
me
remarkable.
Felt like this is the moment they needed. Now park the bus.
Yeah,
but yo, when they took Harry
they
Kane
did.
Off,
when they took Harry Kane off, when they and there was something to when they brought in Kim Min Jae for Harry Kane. I believe that was
they
the
went
sub.
To three at the back.
And they were like, all right, let's lock it down.
Yeah,
and it really they had it, and I feel and I
Real
feel for
Brian. Was like. We'll be high.
Yeah. Because Kim Min Jae was responsible for the two goals in the first leg. But I thought he'll redeem himself. It'll all be fine.
Check that man's bank account.
And what ended up turning out to be, you know, the Achilles heel was Manuel Neuer, bro. That goal, that first goal was it.
He was man of the match until that moment.
Until that moment. He had such a fabulous game, and I don't know.
But Hoseluz, a genius to still make that run. That's a... Fulkrug would make that run. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a...
Vinicius might not make that run.
That's how I'm a sub. I don't know when... They might send me back
I'm
to
gonna
Stoke.
I'm going to get close to somebody. I don't want to go back there.
I don't want to go back there. It's rainy.
You can't make me.
It's rainy and cold, and they have a whole saying about it.
Guys, I actually couldn't do it on a cold, rainy night there. I don't know if I ever told you that.
But that was a...
But that's
anything
that's,
could happen. Let me put myself in a good position.
That's a not the most skilled striker move is to let me just create pressure. And run up. And, bro, what a moment to make
ball,
that run.
A ball from Vinicius that goes in the box, a shot. And
Tony Meola said it took a weird bounce. So he's like, it's not that big of a mistake. Like, yes, you need to swallow it up. You can't let that happen. But you can't spill it. He goes, but it did take a odd bounce. It's something that could happen.
Yeah. It's just, to me, it's one of those things like, be sure that you can get it or just parry it out.
Yeah,
It's easy to say because it's split second stuff. But this is Manuel Neuer is a world class keeper. He knows what time there are in the game.
One of the top three, four keepers of our generation,
without a doubt. Who also changed the way the position is even played.
The godfather of goalkeeping.
So Manuel Neuer, I think that mistake is on him, and
he'd admit it.
Yeah, and I think this deflated the team so much, and that's why the next goal went in.
Real Madrid say, if you even turn the doorknob, we're going to kick the door in.
Okay. I mean? Don't even peek. Don't crack it open a little bit.
Nah, you know, like, you know those people who, like, look to the shadows at the bottom to see if someone's there?
Right.
That's Real Madrid.
Real Madrid has their eyes on the under the door. Yeah. Like, hey, what are you doing in there?
They turned the people inverse when you weren't looking. They could see you.
So that was a pivotal moment in the game because I think Bayern were so close, and as soon as they subbed off Harry Kane, that was the feeling. The feeling was
Thomas
like,
Tuchel lost this match there. I know people are going to talk about
the
offside and the whistle. Yeah, all of that a mistake shouldn't have happened. Bruh, why would you take Harry Kane off?
Yeah.
The guy can find a goal.
A little.
He hadn't.
Yeah,
but he could.
Look, it's the 88th minute. You would imagine they would be able to hold on, and you know they just
think
they
about Carlo Ancelotti. Alfonso Davies scores, and he immediately says, "Give me a Luka Modric, right? Someone to lower the tempo, you know, someone to settle the game, right? Boom." When Tuchel goes for a substitute, he says, "Let me take off one of the best scorers in my league, one of the best goal scorers in history, and then bring on." A former Stoke player in Choupo-Moting.
So Harry Kane went on for Choupo-Moting. Choupo-Moting went on. But Kim Min Jae, at what point did he come into the game?
Right there, 76th for Leroy Sané.
Okay, so this is a you would think they'd be able to hold on, and it's just a crazy mistake. But that's the thing, not having Harry Kane when that goal goes in. That is, I think, another deflating thing of like, oh, if we go to extra time, you know, who's gonna show the leadership? Who's gonna be able to give us an opportunity?
The focal point of your attack is gone.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just get right to it because obviously, what's his name? De Ligt scores. He does score that goal late in the game.
Yeah, but
it was a 9-minute.
Lunin didn't even move. He didn't even go towards
the goal. Because he heard the whistle. Yeah.
The whistle a bit more. You play to the whistle, they stopped.
Yeah, yeah. So, but there was a ball sent in, and, you know, it looked like it could have been offside. It could have been onside. But the linesman raises his flag. A ref blows the whistle.
And we've been arguing about this. Why do they take so long to raise the flag? Someone's going to get injured. All right, maybe we were wrong. Because when you do it early,
you do this. You got this problem. I mean, look.
These are the World Cup final refs, by the way.
Yeah, and we've all sort of adapted and adjusted to the fact that play to the whistle.
Yeah, yeah.
And go just as even for the lines people, hey, you don't need to raise the flag. Wait till the attacking phase of play is over, then raise the flag, and then we can all go look at it. We've all adjusted to this new reality that we are experiencing with football.
Yeah. They literally did it 5 minutes before when Hasselu scored the second goal.
Exactly. Exactly. So I don't understand the urgency. No. Look,
and now the narrative is like, oh, Real Madrid owns the refs or whatever. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a when I look at it back, and I'll see if I can get a still, I think it could still be offside.
It still feels a little offside.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like one of those that's going to upset everyone as soon as they draw the lines.
It is close, but I would love to have had the opportunity to see especially the the semi-automated line and see that graphic.
Oh, that La Liga says they can't afford?
But this is Champions League and they have it. But we're looking at the screen right now. We're looking at the still. De Ligt, who ends up scoring the goal, is not the person who receives the ball right here.
Right.
De Ligt is offside. He's ahead of Rudiger. We can see that.
And Rudiger is the one who heads the ball.
And who is, I don't know who is it that sent the pass? I don't know.
Oh, it's not Mazraoui, is it?
No.
I think it was Pavlovich. I think it was
Pavlovich. It is Pavlovich.
So he looks like he is in line with Rudiger. You can't. It's almost impossible to tell because De Ligt is in front of Rudiger. So he's like in between the two players. And it's hard to tell. We can't really see where Rudiger's foot is. But there's a possibility here.
I don't know. His knee looks like it might be a little bit further offside.
Possibly. We're looking at just these blurry images, so it's hard to exactly tell.
I don't know. Actually, Rudiger's foot seems like it's further out.
Exactly.
Honestly, none of this matters.
But the fact that he blows the and there's so many layers to it because the linesman doesn't have to raise the flag, but even if he does raise the flag, the referee doesn't have to blow the whistle.
Yeah, but it's automatic.
Yes. All the players, and they've all been instructed all the time, play to the whistle. Don't focus on the linesman who raises the flag. And so it was just such a poor decision. And we saw Christina Uncle in the broadcast as well.
She said afterwards, it was a mistake.
She said these were two mistakes made in the game. And it's just it's unfortunate.
She doesn't call them mistakes, right? Because she's a lawyer. She says something else.
Errors? What did she say? No, I thought she said mistakes.
I don't think she ever uses the word mistakes.
Fuck ups? What'd she say?
She said, we got a couple oopsies out there.
What did she say?
Legally speaking.
Christina, the legalese is quite kind of above my head. Can you just tone it down a little bit?
So, big words, Christina.
But so it's unfortunate, and I hate to say, like, you know, because I don't have that much sympathy for Bayern fans, but this was a scenario where the game shouldn't have ended this way. We should have gotten a little bit more certainty. And I know, I just saw Mikel Antonio doing an interview saying he hates VAR, get rid of it, it's ruining the game, we can't celebrate, or whatever. But this just feels like, this is what life was before VAR, where we had these things like, are we even sure that this was the result that should we have had extra time? Is this what the game how the game should have ended? Because the list scoring that goal is like such a miraculous, what a crazy game for entertainment sake. I'm like, yeah, let's go. More
of this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get
free
it.
Football. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what are you going to do? This is, it sucks for Bayern, but overall, the mistakes from Manuel Neuer, and not being able to close out the game, that's it. That was the issue. Just they could have, these little margins of errors are the difference in these games. These teams are so good. Champions League level, the quality is so unbelievably high. And regardless, if you're Real Madrid, Bayern, whatever, if you're there in a semifinal, you cannot make mistakes. And he just made a mistake at literally the worst time.
The worst time. And his team paid for it. But now, who do you have in the final? Wembley?
Yeah.
And by the way, the last time the final was at Wembley was BVB versus Bayern Munich.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So we could have had a repeat of that, but sorry.
Yeah. Well,
so now it's Real Madrid Harry versus Kane, Borussia Dortmund.
Another misses out, another opportunity to win a trophy.
I feel so bad for him.
It's getting to the point where, like, it's getting cruel.
Did you see him, like, dip his head on the bench? Bro, I'm like, just as a human. I get as an Arsenal fan, I could laugh at this, and I will. But now, it feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, dude. But, yeah, the final. So Borussia Dortmund against Real Madrid.
You know what? If I was his family, I'd have, like, best dad trophy when he got home. You know?
Best dad. Who got really close to getting to a Champions League final.
Another one. So close.
So the final, obviously, Dortmund against Real Madrid. And obviously, everybody's going to be favoring Real Madrid.
What do you think? Give us a prediction. Early prediction.
Overall, I love that it's Jude Bellingham playing against his team that just sold them.
At home.
It's just remarkable.
Yeah.
I love kind of this
Gio Reyna gets a ring.
No.
Yeah, he was.
That would be cool.
He played in the Champions League.
Oh, that's right.
So Gio Reyna would be a...
They don't give rings for Champions League, do they?
Well, you know what I mean. Okay, whatever. He's considered a Champions League winner.
Yeah, he'd be on the Champions League winning team. Okay, CONCACAF up again. Yeah, let's go.
Yo, damn, son. We can't stop winning out here, man.
So, I'll say this: the miracle that is just Real Madrid and the fact that they always find a way to win. I don't see PSG had some good attacking players, but Real Madrid is on another level. Vinicius, I don't think he's better than Mbappe, but he has a different.
He's having a better Champions League than Mbappe.
Sure, but look, you see those margins, but I think Mbappe is
overall a better player. Yeah.
But Vinicius has way better options with him to score, and this is why you see the. Vinicius, not only is he a threat to score, but he's a threat to get some, like, great assists. Because Real Madrid, especially, they give the ball to Vinicius out wide. They're like, look, if you can get past the first defender, go for it and take a shot on goal. Or just send a forceful and powerful cross so that Federico Valverde can rocket it back into the goal.
Right? First time volley.
First time in the air. Don't even worry about accuracy because that doesn't matter to him. That's kind of the game. They have so many. This is what I love about teams that have midfielders that are a threat to score from the midfield, from outside the box. And Real Madrid have like three of those guys that can do that, and I just don't think Dortmund, even though I'm wearing a Dortmund kit, I don't think they'll be able to hold on.
So your prediction is finally
that Real Madrid will win this game.
Same, no score.
I'm gonna say 3-1. I think Real Madrid is gonna win this game 3-1.
That's close to what I was thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking 3-1 or 3-0 Real Madrid.
Yes, look
at Wembley.
I hope I'm wrong. Because if Dortmund can do this,
the vibes
would be crazy. And again, they defended well across both of those legs against PSG.
I'm fine with either or. You know why? Because Jadon Sancho winning a Champions League final in London if you're Manchester United, you have to sack Ten Hag that day. If you hadn't done it by then, you have to do it that day.
I just had a sheer embarrassment.
I can't
even be seen. We're gonna be like, you're dating a girl. I can't hold your hand. Yeah. And people are gonna see us together.
No, it's just you saw what happened. I can't be seen with you.
There's no recovery from this.
Nah, yo, Ten Hag gotta be sacked that day.
Dude, look, if they can defend, the one thing I know, Real Madrid ain't hitting the post 18 times. Okay, no. They are scoring quite a bit, and they have real threats to score. And it's not just like, again, not just one or two players. And we see that
they're going to get Mbappe next year. They're going to get Alphonso Davies next year. And now they're talking about Florian Wirtz,
dude.
They're going to have to play a 2-7-1 for all these people.
What's that, an area code?
It's not a formation we've seen ever.
I think Real Madrid will win it. But if it could turn out the other way, that would be just remarkable. But it should be an entertaining game to say the last. But Real Madrid's gonna have a lot of the ball. That's why I know that for sure. So the final is gonna be June 1st.
I'll be in London.
You'll be in London. Well, you're still trying to get tickets. We'll see.
I'm not gonna get tickets. had it been Bayern versus Borussia Dortmund, I think I might have been able to
get it. All right, let's wrap up there. That's been our Champions League recap. I mean, the games have been absolutely wild. There were a couple other things in. There were a bunch of U.S. Open Cup results that were pretty remarkable. Detroit City defeating champions, U.S. Open Cup champions, yep. Houston Dynamo.
New York City 2 being the last MLS Next Pro team.
Beating
still
the
going.
Switchbacks.
Let's go.
So the last, like you said, MLS Next Pro team remaining is really cool.
What the hell is a switchback? Is that a horse?
I don't know what a switchback
is. I'll look it up.
To me, it sounds like something with skateboarding, you know? Switch? Yeah, anyway, a little Tony Hawk stuff. Yeah, there's like six people that know what I'm talking about.
It's a bent in a road or a path, especially one leading up the side of a mountain.
Damn.
Okay. I don't even know what that means. I just read that.
I'm more confused than I started with.
It's so funny that I can't even like picture it, bro. Yeah. My imagination will not allow me to.
If you ask for directions in like a quaint little old town and a farmer was like, just head past the switchback, you'd be like,
hey.
A what? What kind of party?
So the one interesting detail about that is that because they are the remaining MLS Next Pro team that made it to the round of 16, they automatically win prize money, and it's $25,000. And a lot of people, because it's a affiliate, and people like some people are having the conversation about like, should the money go to like a different, like a charity? Should it go to something? You know, I don't know what the source of the conversation.
Give it to the players.
Give it to the players. They're not paying a lot of money. Why are we having this debate?
What is it like? $1,200 each?
They can get some Parker pens, bro.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, what are you going to do with the other $1,180?
So I don't know what the source of the debate is because
there's
players
no debate.
Earn
give
the money.
To the players.
It's very, very odd. But
zero debate.
It's just giving. They earned it. Yeah. They did the work to get there. Yeah. They should reap the spoils.
And if they win the next match, they go to the quarterfinals.
So wild. But no, good on them. They won. Yeah, it was a 1-0 result. US Open Cup still thriving.
Still lit.
So let's go. All right, let's wrap up there. Thank you again for tuning in. We appreciate y'all. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all socials, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Friendster, everything.
If you follow us on Threads, you got a real problem. Or you work for Meta. That's the only two.
And we will be back on Monday. We have a guest on Monday?
No guest
on Monday.
Hey, right. The guest is me. And you better make that purchase.
I didn't
Venmo you money so you can get yourself a smoothie.
I mean, I'll see. I don't know how fast Parker pens can be delivered.
It's Amazon.
Is it Prime? I mean, it's Thursday. I don't know.
We got Prime. You'll be all right.
We'll see if we can get it. Anyway, so make sure you follow us, and we'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode. Y'all the absolute best. We'll see you then. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys. Cooligans, buddy.